Good evening and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael, so glad you could be with us. Hope you're enjoying this holiday season in full swing. And we got a lot of high school sports to talk about on tonight's program. So let's get right to our panelists in studio tonight. Of course, the co-host of the program, senior sports writer, Mr. Keith Groller, and football guru extraordinaire from EasternPAFootball.com, Mr. Dave Michael. Gentlemen, welcome. Happy holidays to you. Thanks for coming.
Can't believe how prompt you guys are. It's December the 1st, and you guys got the decorations up already.
Oh, well, some more creative people than me handled this. But yes, the studio is looking very festive. Of course, we have the Dream Come True Telethon coming up, so our whole studio is going to be redone.
Great
so make
cause.
Sure you tune in for that on Monday, too, the Dream
Absolutely.
Come True Telethon. Right here live on RCN TV. We got a lot of high school football talk tonight and two smart people here to pick your brains about. So I want to start right in with the 6A level. So St. Joseph Prep, of course, lost to Parkland. First of all, I thought Parkland represented themselves well last week. So your thoughts on last week's game and just how good St. Joe's are? Because and I remember Al Thompson from Football Stories and Rock Hoffman were here on our show about a month ago. In fact, even in the spring they were on and kind of mentioned St. Joe's that they thought they were going to be one of the teams to beat in the state of Pennsylvania. So your thoughts on last week's game and St. Joe's Prep overall?
Well, overall, St. Joe's Prep, I mean, you look at that game, you know, they won 38-17. I think the score doesn't indicate how close it was. And I think, you know, for a little bit, Parkland was hanging with them. You know, they were making plays. And I know, you know, St. Joe's Prep's quarterback, Marquise, you know, had some issues with the center fumbling the snap. And you know, they can't do that moving on against North Penn. But in that game, you know, you saw DeAndre Swift. You saw why he is rated the number one all-purpose back in America. He had, you know, his high for the year, 318 yards rushing. And, you know, he's a kid that could break it any time. And, you know, I tell people that, if you haven't gone to see him, go see him, because this kid's special.
And you were touting him, I think, at least a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, you look at this St. Joe's Prep team. When they beat Don Bosco earlier in the season, you knew they were for real, because they never beat Don Bosco. So to beat them, and it has to go, you know, I give a lot of credit to their quarterback, Marquise McCray, because this kid has changed their team, because he could throw the ball, he could run the ball. You can't just stack the line with eight guys and try to key on Swift, because if you do that, this kid's going to run by you. So adding that weapon has changed this team, and they have tremendous receivers, a great offensive line, great defense. And, you know, most people think that, you know, this game with North Penn, if they play like they did against Parkland, where they have a lot of turnovers, I'll tell you what, it's going to be an interesting game, because North Penn is a very talented team.
Why do they keep going back to that stadium? I can't believe the city of Philadelphia.
We've been
going
down
there for years. And I missed this one because I was out at Chambersburg with Becca.
Yeah.
But we've been going down to that stadium for years, and it's not a good facility.
I know.
And to have a North Penn St. Joe's Prep game, I can't believe Widener or one of those universities, Delaware Valley, would be a good choice. Why not play it there? I don't know why the state keeps doing that. I get it, it's supposed to be District 12's year to host that particular game.
Yeah.
But my gosh, can't we look at the best facilities?
I
put the games there where everybody's comfortable.
I agree with that. You know, it's not the best stadium to play, but it is what it is. And you know, that this weekend's game against North Penn is going to draw a huge
That's
crowd.
That's what I'm saying. And I thought that even Soderton was too small for Parkland and, who was that, Ridley last year?
Upper Dublin,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I thought that was even a small venue. It's a tough – Soderton's a beautiful area down there, but I thought a lot of folks had trouble getting in, including yours truly.
Yes.
Because there's only like one or two ways you can get in,
exactly.
And there's windy one-lane roads. But I think sometimes the PAAA should look at more convenience of the fans. Look, I have not seen good crowds at all.
Mm-hmm.
I covered the Becca Johnstown game. Mm-hmm. Becca doesn't draw well at all.
Mm-hmm.
Johnstown, I thought, would at least bring a bunch of folks.
Yeah.
That game, if they didn't release any figures, but I would be surprised if it was more than 2,000 for a state quarterfinal, David.
Yeah, that's not good. But going back to this North Penn St. Joe's Prep game, I agree, because this is a game that a lot of people anticipated, you know, this year. And they really should have looked at putting this game in a bigger stadium, because this is, you know, not only going to draw a lot of North Penn fans, a lot of St. Joe's Prep fans, it's going to draw a lot of football fans.
It should.
And I'll be down there, and you know, it's just going to be, I think, one of the marquee games this weekend.
I think it could be one of the marquee games that we've had in Eastern PA football. I mean, this is one of the two. This is St. Joe's Prep, my gosh, the gold standard right now when it comes to Eastern PA against one of the marquee names out of District 1. And now maybe this is your District 1 gets through here. We'll see. It's been a while, right?
Well, and you look at North Penn, you know, their quarterback, Reese Yudinski, a kid that has thrown for 3,800 yards, 36 touchdowns. Their running back, Nick Dillon, a guy that's rushed for almost 1,000 yards. Their wide receiver, Ricky Johns, a guy who's a West Virginia commit. They have weapons. You know, they have two other receivers that caught 47 passes, 38 passes. So he's has a lot of weapons. And last week, this kid put up 440-some yards passing, four touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And he came up big when they needed him. And you know, some people are saying that whoever wins this game might be the 6A player of the year between, you know, Swift and Reese. So it's going to be a really interesting game.
You went through a lot of great names there. Is it possibly we see the two best players in the state squaring off from North Penn and St. Joe's?
Well, at 6A, at least in the East, absolutely. I'm sure Pittsburgh Central Catholic has some pretty good players that they would argue that. But here in the East, absolutely. These are two of the best players in 6A that probably would be on most people's first team, all leagues, all state, you know, list.
At the 5A level, Archbishop Wood, I saw them last week against Whitehall. They are just, and I saw them when they had their success against Central Catholic, and we saw the Vikings play Archbishop Wood. The Vikings beat them 1 year, and then Archbishop Wood returned the favor. They had some good teams then. This team, their offensive line was just huge. I mean, they got some great running backs, too, and they don't need much of a seam to begin with. But, I mean, Archbishop Wood, I would have to think, is the team to beat both this weekend and next weekend as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, going into this game, Archbishop Wood has to be the heavy favorite to win this game against Academy Park. Sean Thompson, a kid that's rushed for over 1,100 yards. Raheem Blackshear, a kid that has 835 yards rushing, 14 touchdowns, also has caught the ball 26 times for almost 500 yards. And then their quarterback, Jake Collier, a kid who has been playing better and better. And that's the reason, because like I said to you earlier today, is 6 weeks, 7 weeks ago, I didn't think Wood was good enough to make it to where they were. I thought they were beatable, but they are getting better each week, and they look like a team that's on a mission to win a state title.
Yep. As far as the other bracket, the other matchup this weekend, the 5A level, you said there's some controversy involving Harrisburg, I think you
Want to talk about. This is interesting because Harrisburg got a transfer, Micah Parson, a kid that came over from Central Dauphin. There was a little issue at the school, and he transferred over. He's living with his mom, who does live in the Harrisburg area. But the key is, and it's not only him, there was two other kids from McDevitt that had transferred to separate schools. The PIAA basically sat those kids down for one game and allowed those kids to play this year. Where the PIAA basically has, you know, sat kids down a whole year due to some transfers. This is unbelievable, because this Micah Parsons, not only one of the best players in the state at the 2018 class, but one of the best in the country. He's a Penn State commit. He totally changed that Harrisburg team, because they may not have won that district. Now, they're one game away from most likely facing Archbishop Wood in the state finals. If they go on and win the state title, how's the PIAA going to stop teams from doing this? I mean, if you're a talented player and your school's done, go transfer to another school. How are they going to stop it? That's my question.
Terrible. I think it's absolutely terrible.
I mean, it is a huge story. And like I said, if Harrisburg goes on and does win a state title, that's a big story about Michael Parson, who transferred over and just changed that team.
Do you think we could have a Harrisburg Archbishop Wood final?
I think you could. I mean, West Allegheny is a very good team out there. They're going to have their hands full. But right now, I'll tell you what, Harrisburg, you know, they have a great quarterback that could throw the ball. They have, the two best defensive linemen in the state, Micah Parson and the other guy. They have talent, so watch out for Harrisburg this weekend. It's going to be interesting.
All right, we're going to take our first break of the evening. We're going to talk more state football playoffs in just a moment and delve into the Bethlehem Catholic and Notre Dame games coming up this weekend. Both games will be on RCN-TV. We're also going to have an interview with H.D. Woodson, head basketball coach. Trey Mines coming up a little later in tonight's program. But first, our first feature of the evening, and we're starting to make our rounds going around with our preseason basketball previews. Our first stop was at one of the Colonial League favorites, the Bangor Slaters.
I'm not sure if last year really has sunk in yet and we've enjoyed it. I'll go through, you know, times throughout the summer, even now, where, you know, you sit back and think, man, we did that and we accomplished that and we beat this team. So, unfortunately, you know, you don't get a lot of time to enjoy the success.
It was an unbelievable ride. It's one that I know all of us will remember and keep in our memory books. Playing with all the seniors, Mike, Kim, and Josh, and like getting them a good last ride was an enjoyable time last year.
But definitely having Martino here for the last 4 years helped a lot, because it really worked them playing defense and playing offense. So they had to do their part if he wasn't on the court, because you knew he wasn't going to turn the ball over. So just having, I guess, him in front and then being here 4 years for our guards is a good thing.
I mean, Mike was a tremendous player. I mean, he's been here 4 years, won 3 championships. And I mean, I think it was a little bit of adjustment period beginning of the summer. We struggled a little bit, but I mean, we're starting, you know, find our way. I mean, I don't know if we can fully replace him, but I mean, we'll be all right.
We're going to be a deep team this year. We have about 9 or 10 guys that can all step in and contribute with no fall off, so it'll be fun.
But I honestly feel that this team's going to be better. We're more well-rounded. We have five starters that can all score the ball. Sixth and seventh man off the bench can score the ball. And defensively, we're long. We have the Benton twins that are 6'5". We have Isaiah Jones, who's a sophomore, who's 6'4", and can jump out of the gym. So we can put some different lineups out there.
The whole community supports us. They support every sport. They love Bangor basketball. They love Bangor all sports. We have tons of people that come out every night for us. Tons of people for away games too, which you don't normally see. We get, you know, the perception that, you know, we're not very consistent and we don't usually fare well against other schools. But I think these past, you know, 5 or 6 years, we're really showing that we're being consistent. We're having success not just in basketball, but in other sports. So I think we're really making a name for Bangor.
Welcome back to RZN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. We almost had our guests or our panelists come to blows here, arguing over the 4A bracket.
No,
here.
Not at all. Dave's a good friend, good guy.
Well, we almost slugged him a moment ago just because you were disagreeing here. All right, let's get the Bethlehem Catholic
wrestling
in Hotep. Slightly different views on this game here. Dave Mike, of course, our special guest from EasternPAFootball.com. Dave thinks in Hotep, you know, one of those power names. Mm-hmm. Every year you think, okay, you know, look at the state bracket. Where's in Hotep? All right, that's going to be a tough challenge. Keith, I think, is more optimistic that the Golden Hawks have a very good chance.
And it's not the famous line at the end of Dumb and Dumber. You know, I really think they have a chance. Mm-hmm. This is not once in a, you know, one in a million chance. Yeah. I think they really have a chance of hanging with them mm-hmm. and playing with them. Now, you know, if it's 14, 21, 28 points, my gosh, I mean, nobody will be shocked. But I think this Becca football team is once again playing the way they were in the heart of the EPC schedule yeah. when they were playing, you know, beating people like Parkland, Handley. What would you have the
yep,
scores?
Yep, 34-7. Yep.
They handled Whitehall by 20.
Yep.
The rival, Liberty, what, 38? Am I reading the right score?
Yep,
38-7. Nazareth, 28-7. I mean, they play a much tougher schedule. I think right now they have to play extremely well. I mm-hmm. get that. They still have too many penalties for me. Mm-hmm. They haven't turned the ball over that much lately, mm-hmm. which is a good thing. Clements is back to where he was mm-hmm. before he got hurt. They're getting healthier. Damian Diaz is back as a safety. Mm-hmm. He was hurt in the first game of the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're going to give them a battle. Are they going to win the game? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think –
I'll be shocked if this baby is over midway through the third quarter, as the game certainly with Saucon Valley was the game when they played Penn Argyle back in, I think, 12,
and
Catasauqua in 2013. Yeah.
And if they do that, I think what Becca needs to do is sustain long drives, finish drives. If they could do that and keep that offense off the field, you're right, they do have a shot. And it is high school. Anything can happen. But, you know, one number that really, you know, stared at me is Emiltep is leading the state, giving up only 3.3 points a game. Now, granted, you're right, they don't play the stronger schedule like Bethlehem Catholic, but most of the teams they play, they have probably better athletes on the bench than what's out there.
Well, I believe that Becca can't give them points. In other words, they can't give them one play drives, two play drives. They have to make them work for things. And Becca's not going to score it. I mean, Becca had a slow start against Potts Grove a little bit. They've had some big plays that have helped them.
Yeah.
They had a big fumble return by Petros, which kind of got them going against Potts Grove up at Northern Lehigh 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then last week, they gave up a touchdown to Greater Johnstown on a deflected pass, and then they don't do nothing on their first possession, and then they get a big pick and run back about 50 yards by Kareem Powell for a touch. So they've gotten these big plays. If they can get something like that now, look it. I know that Impotep is star-studded compared to both Johnstown and
Potts Grove.
I know that.
Mm-hmm.
They got to hang. Becca can't get into yapping.
Yep.
They can't get out of focus. They must, not hurt themselves with dumb penalties, which they've done way too often in the five games I've seen them. I've seen them 5 weeks in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that they have the talent, especially defensively, to hang with Impotep and at least take this game into the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the belief, and I know Kyle Hawes has talked about this, that this team has not had the conditioning needed. Most of their starters have been on the bench midway through the third.
That is a good point. And you know, you look at the one guy, the quarterback, Nazir Boykin. He's a kid that, you know, can run, he can throw. He's a great, leader on the field. He's a guy that if they could frustrate, and that's the key word to me, if Becca could frustrate these kids and they start talking among themselves, that's going to be a key for Bethlehem Catholic. And you're right. They need to always finish drives, because if they do a 12-play drive and don't finish it in two plays, Emiltep scores, it could really be, deflating for Bethlehem Catholic.
I believe that of all of our teams, and certainly when you would talk about Caddy and Penn Argyle and Sauk, and nothing wrong, the great, nice seasons that that Caddy team was special back in 2013. But I think this is our best shot against them.
Yeah.
I really believe that. And I believe because of Becca's speed that they have the quickness to match. I don't think Parker would match up well with them.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that a Freedom or Liberty would. Whitehall would Boykin maybe a little bit. But I think they have the speed with the Day-Day Rhodes, with Randy Terry, with a kid named Banks, Tavion Banks. I think they have a shot. That's all I could say. They have a chance to win the game, and I think that would be saying something if we could take this thing into the fourth quarter on Friday night.
And if they do that, you're right, then they really have a great shot. But you know as well as I do that if MLTEP's up 2-3 touchdowns, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, the thing is, like I said, MLTEP has, only given up 3.3, I think 4.7 in the playoffs. How many drives? I mean, if they could score and get points and get points and get points, that could really frustrate. Because you're right, because, you look at that team, probably most of those kids only play up to halftime or even less.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I think they are better well-coached. You have
a guy who's
won a state title at Neshaminy, who was an assistant last year, first year head coach, kind of like Phil Stanball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I think he's more of a disciplined guy. You had a lot of problems on the sidelines with that team. That you don't see.
That really changed.
So it's going to be an interesting game. But you're right. You know, Becca is going to have – it's going to kind of be in their backyard. But MLTEP's used to playing in that stadium.
Every place that they play is basically a road game for MLTEP.
Yeah.
And the thing about – I mean, you would hope that now that we're down to two games, we have Notre Dame, we have Becca – playing on the same night. It's unfortunate that it's the same night because I think a lot of people would like to see both games.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hope that some people will come out to see two very talented football teams play. It's, you know, it's not that far up to Slatington. Beautiful stadium up there at Northern Lehigh. Great, great track. And Brian Geist treats everybody super well. So,
absolutely.
You know, I would hope there'd be a nice crowd up there.
Yeah.
Before we move off the Bethlehem Catholic game, real quick, besides Boykin's passing ability, is there one of those great players like Brown or Harris, one of those guys that you really have to worry about if you're Bethlehem Catholic and you say, okay, if we shut him down, we have a better chance of winning?
You know, it's just you can't really key on one player because if you shut down Brown, you have Harris, you have Amar Lewis, you have Young. They have so many weapons that they could throw at you. You know, kids that are, you know, behind those kids that are getting some playing time, but those kids also could break it. So the key is, like I said, no matter who gets the ball, you got to stop that big playability because, like he said, if they're scoring on 1-2, you know, drives like that, it's going to be tough. So they got to somehow contain that big playability. And like you said, if that game's close in the fourth quarter, it's anyone's game.
The only thing that does worry me, I know we got to go to break, but the only thing that does worry me is that they had trouble. I shouldn't say that. The first time they played Darnell Farrell of Central, he got outside and he killed him. The second time, they neutralized him getting outside. I fear that Impotep has got about five or six Darnell Farrells
exactly.
on the team. That could be the difference.
Yep.
All right, we have some emails coming in. We'll get to pick Dave and Keith's brain. We also have more features coming up in just a moment. But right now, it is the co-host of segment. It is Keith's Grohler's Grumblings segment, and that's where Keith gets to sound off and talk about anything and everything on his sports mind. Keith?
Well, I just wanted to first of all say something about Frank Tibani, the Lafayette coach. Did I always get along with Frank? No, but I always respected Frank. Frank brought a lot of vitality, a lot of energy, a lot of charisma, and a lot of leadership to the Lafayette football program. And I think my problem with Frank is that I was covering Lehigh and he was coaching Lafayette, and those two don't mix as we know around here. But Frank, very passionate man, and when you got through the rough exterior of him, I think he was a good man too, very good man, and I wish him well. I know it was a tough decision involved there, but I wish Frank Tibani all the best because he meant a lot to that school and a lot to the Patriot League, and he meant a lot to the rivalry with Lehigh. I also want to tell two people, Jim Harbaugh, stop your whining. I can't take it. I can't take the whining that's going on in this country right now. Jim Harbaugh, it was a great game. You don't spend your entire press conference complaining about the officials. And Doug Peterson, what the heck's going on with you? I really liked you in the beginning, but now you're making poor decisions, and then you're going to your press conferences and you're saying, well, did you play the game? Did that person? We don't have to have played the game beyond knee-high football to know when you're making bad calls like that stupid challenge that was all about two stinking yards. And then instead of saying, hey, in the post-game press conference when asked about it, hey, I screwed up. Shouldn't have done that there probably. No, you gave us some half-concocted baloney reason why you did it. People want in Philly, win or lose, mistake or no mistake, people in Philly want honesty. And right now you're not giving it to them. And don't blame the press because we don't know what we're talking about. You know, you got to get your act together. I like you. I'm still thinking you're doing a good job overall. But my goodness, you've got to get better, Doug, both during the game and in the post-game press conferences. That's
it. All right. We'll get back to the high school football talk in just a second. But first, our high school football or high school basketball previews continue as we stop by the Freedom Practice Gym.
Well, I got Nick King. He's our leader, our scorer. So he's coming back from last year, had a fantastic year. So we're looking forward to seeing what he can do this year. Tyler Munez is coming back from last year, and Louis Hargett. So those are the three guys that we're really depending on.
Last year's team, I learned that we definitely were, when we were down, we kept ourselves down. So I think this year, we need to learn to keep a positive attitude even when we're down, because, you know, the game's not over until that final buzzer.
Just bringing it every night and not being lackadaisical and stuff like that. I think if we come out every night and compete the way we know that we can, we shouldn't have a problem.
I started last year, and so did Nick, and we feel like we can get the younger guys going and show them that we're leaders and show them where they need to go next year when we leave.
We got a group of freshman kids that can get up and down the floor, so I'm excited to see what they're capable of doing at the varsity level with the Mims twins and Harrington. So those three kids can play a little bit, but they're going to be freshmen, so we'll see if they can compete at this high level.
I know we play Allen in the first league game. Mm-hmm. I want to make statements. I think we have the guys and the team to do it. I definitely want to turn heads because my 4 years that I've been here, is we always had the underdog mentality. Mm-hmm. So I think we kind of have that this year as well, and I definitely want to prove some people wrong.
Obviously, it's a tough task with Talib, Tyrese, and their role players with their shooters and stuff. So I think it's going to be a competitive game for us.
We just want to see if we can make it far in the district. Or that's our goal, to make it to the district and see if we can go far in the districts.
We are an older team, so I definitely think that we'll all be able to play to each other's knowledge. Like, we all know our roles, we all know how each other plays, so I definitely think this year's going to be a lot of fun.
We have a lot of seniors, so I think we're all going to want to just come together and just go out there, give it all we got. Every game play like it's our last, because it is our last year.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, along with Keith Broler, Dave Micah from EasternPAFootball.com. I'm Chris Michael. Glad you could be with us. We're moving on and talking state football at the 3A level. Notre Dame versus Middletown, one of two games in addition to the Bethlehem Catholic game that will be on RCN this weekend. Dave, Middletown has two outstanding running backs, yes. And I think that's going to be the huge key right there. Can Notre Dame, with their great weapons, their athleticism, can they stop either of those two running backs on Friday at Hershey?
Well, you have Brady Fox, Jalen Thompson, two kids that have rushed for 1,300 yards, 1,400 yards. Middletown is about the big play ability. Their quarterback, he throws a great ball. You know, they could beat you through the air. They could beat you on the ground. They could beat you special teams. They could beat you on defense. And to give you an example, last week against Scranton Prep, it was 7-6. Scranton had just Scranton Prep just scored, kicked it off, 90-yard touchdown on the kickoff. Mm-hmm. Next drive, interception, 40-yard touchdown. And before you know it, it's 21-6 at halftime. So they kind of blew that game wide open. And, you know, they have that ability to score and score quick. And that's going to be one of the keys. I talked to Phil this week, and that's one of the keys. He has to stop that big play ability. I think Notre Dame's offense is good enough to score points. I think this one could be a high-scoring game. Mm-hmm. But Middletown does have a very good defense, a little better than I think what Notre Dame has. And the thing is, with Notre Dame, you look at the two losses, they lost to probably arguably the two best running teams in the Colonial League, Penn Argyle and Saucon Valley. So, you kind of look at that and you look at this team, this is probably the best running team in AAA, at least in the East. So it is going to be a tall task. Can they stop that running attack? Because they're just going to pound the ball and basically say, stop us.
Will this be the best chance for a Lehigh Valley team between Beckett and Notre Dame?
In my opinion, yes. Because when I looked at the brackets before everything started, I thought that District 11, this could be the best chance for us to go to Hershey.
You got St. Joe's Prep in 6. have
Wood at five.
Wood at five and Impotep at four. So we kept going down. Let's see where we have a chance. And that's where we started here.
Yeah.
3A.
And you know, you look at 3A. I mean, Phil has done a tremendous job. First year as head coach, and he's taken them to the, you know, basically the semifinals. Yeah. So, you know, he is going to be playing in Hershey this week. And hopefully, you know, in his mind, he's hoping to, you know, play next week at Hershey. But this will be our best chance. I think it is going to be a high-scoring game.
Give me percentages. Becca has a what percentage chance of winning, and Notre Dame has a what percent chance of winning?
I think Notre Dame, I think that game would be, I'll give them 40%.
Notre Dame?
Yeah. Okay. I would favor Middletown by 60%. Becca, I would say 25%.
75 to 75. Wow. Yeah. 75 to 25. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you're saying I shouldn't go to Vegas and put any money on our two local teams.
And you know what? I hope Betham Catholic proves me wrong. I hope those kids are listening. I hope I fire them up, and I hope they do get the W, because I would like to see District 11, you know, team make it to Hershey. But, you know, like I said, you know, realistically looking at this bracket, this is our best chance. I think Notre Dame will score with them. If they could stop the run, I'll tell you what, we'll see what happens. But I'm sure Phil will have a good game plan, and we'll see what happens. But one thing that they do have to do is play four quarters. There's been, you know, some games this year where, you know, they had a bad first half, played a better second half. They have to play four quarters.
My wish, David, is that both of these games, whether our teams win or lose, and at this point in the season, I don't care. I'm a homer, too. I'm rooting for Notre Dame, and I'm rooting for Betham Catholic.
Yeah.
Because it represents us well, and it's good
Absolutely.
For the Lehigh Valley. I just hope we don't have a situation like Saucon, which had a great, great run. The whole town of Hellertown was pumped up, excited. And they had that, 72-27 when Impotep scored 50-plus, I think, in the first half alone. And even what happened to Whitehall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, a lot of excitement. The Zephyrs win their first title in many, many years, couple decades, and then they get thumped by Wood. I hope that we can avoid those situations at a minimum on Friday night.
You know, I think Imhotep isn't as good as they were last year. You know, I think they are good enough to win that game, but I think Betham Catholic is a better team. And if you put together, I think it'll be much closer. But like I said, in the end, I think Imhotep's going to win that game. But going back to the Notre Dame game, like I said, this could be a shootout. So it'll be really interesting. And turnovers could be a big part. Special teams could be a big part. It's going to be who stops whose big play ability.
I worry about maybe Notre Dame getting worn down. It sounds like this team's going to pound it at them.
Yeah, well.
And, you know, I wonder about Notre Dame, which I don't think probably is the deepest team, is going to get worn down.
Yeah, and the thing is, they're kind of like a track team. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just going to go right at you, and they got some players.
Real quick, among the single A and 2A teams still playing, any thoughts you have of those teams?
Well, you know, one thing I found out today was kind of like a little breaking news was Evan Chadbourne from Bishop Guilfoyle, a kid who was the 1A player of the year, you know, a team that has won back-to-back state titles. He was out, kid tore his ACL earlier in the summer. He's cleared to play. So now you have a kid that, you know, rushed for, I think it was like 2,600 yards last year, and you put that with what they have again, you know, most people think it's going to be Bishop Guilfoyle versus Clareton, but Steelton Highspire, a team that is below 500, has made the East Final. And you ask, how did they do that? Well, a team that was given up, I think, 22 points a game on defense. In the playoffs, they're only giving up 12 points a game, and they're scoring a touchdown more than what they were. They played a tough schedule. They played teams that were 3A, 4A, 5A, and that's why their record's what
it is.
Right,
that's the story of Steelton Highspire Sports.
Yeah.
I mean, there were many years in basketball. They could have they were at a high level, but they really, enrollment-wise, are a small school. So I love the Rollers. I love the Steam Rollers. Great tradition out there.
Absolutely.
All right, let's try to squeeze in a couple quick emails about state football playoff action. This email's from Darif, no town given. Darif asks, how do you think Lehigh Valley teams overall stack up against Philly schools? No classification given, so obviously the Philly schools have a very good chance to win several state titles.
I think our schools, I'll get in and let David have an opportunity. I think we match up well with the public schools. The Catholic schools, at least some of these elite programs like Prep and Wood, we seem to have a problem. And you know, David, if we go to Hershey and I don't know how many we have a shot at, but 8 or 9 of the 12 teams going to Hershey are private schools, yep. That old argument is going to rear its ugly head again, and we're going to hear a lot of noise and a lot of whining. And yep. And look at, is it fair? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Probably not when one school can field the team one mm-hmm. way and the other, and another school can field the team in a very different way.
Yeah.
But the PIAA, we talk about this, is not going to change it. They're just not.
I mean, one thing that I want to talk to Lombardi about is, and I'll use Wood as an example, if they have a kid from Quakertown that's living in Quakertown, not in their school district, you got to add that male enrollment to what yours is. So if you do that, well, guess what? You're 6A. MOTEP, they have kids that aren't in their school district, again, you have to add that, and that could bump them up. So realistically, what could happen is you could have all these great teams in one class.
Right.
Now, 5A down, it might be a little better for the public schools. 6A, it's just going to be loaded.
When I add the fact that IMPOTEP is a public school, it's not considered a Catholic.
Yeah, they are a public school, but a public school with open enrollment.
Right.
All right, one more email. We have about 40 seconds left this segment. Jim from Allentown says, among the smaller schools, which player impressed you guys the most this fall? Keith or Dave?
Well, mine is a kid out of District 3, Billy Williams. This is a kid, I saw him play in a game where he rushed for 444 yards, 7 touchdowns. This is a kid that it just every year has gotten better and better, and he's really developed into, I'll tell you what, one of the better running backs in Class A in the state.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave, for all of your expertise and for joining us this evening. And, of course, check out the high school football playoff action coming up on RCN. Coming up, we have an interview we recorded a little earlier with Trey Mines, the H.D. Woodson head coach. But first, we have a recap of several D.C. high school playoff action with our DKN Special Sports Moment.
This is a DKN Sports Championship Special. The 2016 DCIAA Stripes Division Championship featured the number 1-seeded Bell Griffins against the number 2-seeded Roosevelt Rough Riders. Things got off to a rocky start for the Rough Riders when quarterback number 12 Leon Gray steps back and is blindsided by defensive back number 1 Octavius Beasley. Defensive lineman Juan Sanchez picks up the fumble and dashes 32 yards into the end zone. Bell goes up 6-0. Late in the second quarter, Leon Gray drops back in the pocket and finds number 2 Dylan Clary dancing on the edge of the end zone. Roosevelt kicks the extra point and goes ahead 7-6. Then, with the first half closing, Roosevelt kicks a 19-yard field goal and extends their lead 10-6. Roosevelt pulled away in the fourth quarter when Leon Gray looks to the corner and finds number 8 receiver Andre Whitehead for the clinching score. Congratulations to the students and coaches of the Roosevelt Rough Riders on becoming the 2016 Stripes Division Champions. And then there were two. The DCIAA football season came to a close as the 9-1 Woodson Warriors defended their championship against a division rival, the 8-2 Wilson Tigers. The Warriors struck first when number 17 Tyron Robinson drops back, looks to his right, then takes off to his left and charges into the end zone. Woodson goes up 6-0. The Tigers showed what got them to the championship game when Malachi Anthony lets loose with a 45-yard bomb to number 17 receiver Caleb Coleman, and he dashes into the end zone, and Wilson goes up 7-6. Midway through the second, the Warriors take advantage of a muffed punt, and number 6 Ronald Whitfield easily takes the ball in, and the Warriors go up 14-7. But the Tigers weren't giving up easily. Number 2 Sean Savoy lines up in the Wildcat formation and then drops back and hits Caleb Coleman for a score. Wilson is back in it, 14-13. Early in the fourth, the Warriors went back to the playground. Tyron Robinson drops back, drops further back, ducks and dodges tacklers until he hits number 2 Noah Boykin in the end zone. The Tigers made one final run at the champs when Sean Savoy hits Caleb Coleman on the run for a score. But it was too little too late as the H.D. Woodson Warriors captured their fourth consecutive Stars Division title. Congratulations to the Woodson students and staff on becoming the 2016 Turkey Bowl champs. This has been a DKN Sports Championship Special.
Welcome back to tonight's last segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. And this segment, we are joined by a very special guest from the Washington, D.C. area as we bring in via the phone lines Trey Mines, the head coach of HD Woodson and their outstanding basketball program. Coach Mines, thanks for joining us this evening.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Congratulations on last year's success. And, of course, I'm going to ask you about the upcoming season and your team this year in a moment. But first of all, could you take us back to last year and that magical run you had for the 2015-2016 season, an undefeated 33-0 perfect season, state champs, DCI, AA champs. What was it like? And, you know, I go back to this time last year. I wasn't hearing a whole lot about your team as far as preseason predictions. And, you know, the usual suspects, DeMatha and Gonzaga, seemed to be getting a lot of the attention. So do you think you caught some people by surprise this time a year ago?
I think we definitely caught some people, outside of that locker room. By surprise, we had a good group of returners from the previous year. We had won the DCIAAs the previous year, and a lot of those leaders came back. And then we had two really, really good sophomores that were with us last year as well to make up that six-man rotation that kind of powered through. We were really good. We knew we could be really good. You know, I'm kind of a coach that I don't look too far down the road. We kind of focus on one game at a time. And that was kind of our motto the whole year was, you know, every day we lace them up, we want to step off the floor 1-0. And, you know, before we knew it, we were, you know, 20-something-0, and everybody's looking like, can they finish it? And, you know, kudos to my leaders. You know, they kind of kept the team grounded. And, we worked hard as ever in practice. And the focus stayed sharp, and they really wanted to repeat. We knew we'd have to knock off Gonzaga or St. John's or somebody like that to be able to win the state title, and we had that opportunity, and we just made the most of it. And you know, at the end of the day, it was a 33-0 season, and something that you know people around here will remember for a long time.
Yeah, it was great, especially in this day and age. There's so many distractions out there. I was going to ask you a little bit about how you keep kids focused. No matter how good you have on paper, talent-wise, you still have to keep the focus of all of these kids, 16, 17, 18-year-olds kids. What was that like, and how tough was it for you and your staff to keep that focus, especially as the wins started adding up?
Yeah, the big thing, we started in the preseason, just kind of getting them in there, and we stressed brotherhood and just being a family and not letting anybody into our circle. Because at the end of the day, no matter if we play at home or if we play on the road, the only people that matter is the guys in those uniforms and those coaching shirts and the people that show up to practice. So that was a big emphasis for us, as well as, I mean, we just keep our guys together a lot. We do a lot of things together as a team. Every day, we don't have school and practice, and then they just go home. We have study hall, and, you know, they're spending extra time in study hall, and sometimes we'll just do team-building events during that study hall time before we actually practice. So they were around each other so much, man. It was just, the bond was created, and we just continued to build on it. And, you know, when it came late in late-game situations, they knew how to challenge each other to bring the best out of each other. Mm-hmm. They were able to do that countless times in the fourth quarter and, you know, remain undefeated.
Could you take us through the DCI AA championship game? Roosevelt, if I'm not mistaken, Roosevelt had probably come the closest to beating you earlier in the season. But that title game, people can watch it on YouTube, and I was watching it. It seemed like an electric atmosphere. It almost looked, from the small YouTube screen that I saw, it looked like everyone was standing pretty much the entire game. What was the atmosphere like during that championship game?
Roosevelt has kind of been... they've always been consistently at the top. I want to say they've been in the championship game maybe six out of the last 8 years, and I believe they've won three or so of themselves. And, you know, we're kind of the team who just came out of nowhere. Not really out of nowhere, but we just kind of built up to what we've been over the last couple of years since I've been here. And, it was a rivalry. They were undefeated in the league. We played them at that last game of the regular season for the regular season title, and mm-hmm. it just all lined up perfectly. And it was a robbery. I mean, I think the game sold out maybe even at the JV game. So, you know, it was just an intense robbery, and we beat them at their place by one on some last-second free throws by one of our ranked kids in the country, Keon Boyd. I don't think anybody was sitting. It was amazing energy, and we play them here in a couple weeks. We actually have them the first game of the league schedule this year. So, you know, I'm sure it's going to be ready again, and they're looking to win the league, and we're hoping to go for the three-peat. So it'll be good again.
You know, one of the special players you had on last year's team, Antoine Walker, DC Player of the Year, and I know you went to Dallas with him as part of a national tournament, and you saw Mike Krzyzewski and all the other great big-time Division I college basketball head coaches out there. What was that experience like, and, you know, what were some of the things that Antoine, he had a ton of highlights. Again, you could go on YouTube and see all the highlights from your teams last year, but what did he bring to the table? He had to be an awfully special player for you.
Antoine's a special player and equally a special kid. I coached with he played AAU with Team Loaded, and I was one of the coaches on that staff. Mm-hmm. For inner city kids, we're in the inner city. Being able to be put on a platform like that, just watching Coach Krzyzewski, the first time that he saw him last year after his junior year, we went out there. You know, he had just won the national championship probably literally a week before.
Yeah,
and the first coach that we see when we walk into, you know, the field house, Coach Tate is getting out of the car beside us, basically, and walking into the gym. You know, he had never seen anybody like that in person. So it was an eye-opening experience for him. And he definitely got back in the gym and continued to work on his game. And, you know, just to watch where he came from his freshman year, you know, being a really raw 6'2", 6'3", kid with, you know, minimal post skills and that type of thing, to blossoming into just an athletic, superbly athletic talent. He's definitely broadened his range. He's a legit three-point threat now, or a legit threat out to three-point range. He's just as tough as they come, and that's what Georgetown likes about him. Mm-hmm. They really jumped on him last year about halfway through the season. And just kind of watched what he did for us. He did a lot of those things inside that, you know, without him, you could argue that, you know, there have been some games we lost, his blocking shots, his rebounding, his scoring ability inside, and, you know, keeping the defense honest on the perimeter. So he's a special talent, and we're really, really looking forward to some big things from him at Georgetown next year.
Yeah. Our special guest on the phone line is Trey Mines, head coach at H.D. Woodson, and anchoring his outstanding boys basketball team. I want to turn the page and look a little bit ahead towards this year. You mentioned Keon Boyd. He's back for you, a nationally ranked player according to ESPN. You have some other great players. Could you talk about this year's team and some of the college choices? I know Keon's has gotten at least a dozen or more big-time college offers. So tell us a little bit about this year's H.D. Woodson Ball Club.
Of course, you start, you know, Keon and another sophomore is really, really, or he's a junior now, really, really good. Daquan Washington, he had about 83 threes for us last year. Keon is really, shouldn't probably say this on the air if he can hear, but Keon is scary good. His potential, his size, his power, his speed, his basketball IQ, he really has the total package that any coach wants. And he's going to have to lead us this year. We have a really, really, really talented group again. We're lacking in the experience department because a lot of our guys, and they'll be household names in probably another year or two, but, you know, really good freshmen, you know, a couple really, really good sophomores, and some pretty good juniors in the group. So we know this year they're going to have to force that brotherhood again that last year's team had kind of built over their 4 years. At Woodson, and we're kind of starting all over from that aspect, but we definitely have the really, really good pieces to do it. And we're going to go through our growing pains. I'd be lying if I said I'm sitting here thinking about 33-0. I've kind of put that behind us, and we're focused on winning, you know, every game that we can with this team. And we definitely understand that, you know, everybody's going to throw us their best shot. And this group has to weather that storm and figure it out. But I definitely think we have a good team to be able to take those shots and get through them the best we can, so to speak.
Yeah. Coach, before we let you go, I just want to get your thoughts on your upcoming schedule. Obviously, you have some big games coming up. Roosevelt, you'll be playing them here in the month of December. What are your thoughts on the DMV and the level of competition that you'll be seeing over the next few weeks?
I think the DMV is going to be as good as it's ever been. There's a lot of really, really good teams. I mean, Gonzaga, you know, they pretty much return everybody, and they have some nationally ranked players, maybe two or three on their team. You know, DeMathis still has DJ Harvey and Josh Carlton going to Notre Dame and Connecticut. And, used to formerly Clinton Christian, but now Rock Creek Christian. They're really, really good this year. And Bishop McNamara, and, you know, Roosevelt has pretty much their whole team back in the city. And, you know, I'm hearing that, that Woodrow Wilson, they're going to be really good this year. So I think it's really, really good. It's going to be really, really competitive. We play a lot of those teams that I just named. So, we'll see. And this is what you want. This is what you get in the DMV area. And, you know, it's going to be as good as it's ever been. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, Coach Mines, thanks so much. Congratulations on last year's phenomenal season and best of luck coming up here for this season.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Trey Mines, the head coach at H.D. Woodson and the outstanding Warrior basketball team, our special guest on our final segment of Sports Talk tonight. Our thanks to everyone on tonight's show. We'll be back next week with another live edition of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.